Welcome, everybody, to the Living Oneness Gathering. I am your host and guide, Sue Dumais, and I have a special guest today. Reverend Lisa is a dear friend, one of my mighty companions, a person I can turn to at any time, day or night. We are really here for each other in this lifetime for sure. We've known each other for over 20 years now. And when we first met, the moment I met her, I knew there was something important that we were meant to do in this world together. So I'm really grateful to have you in my life, but also to have you on the Living Oneness Gathering. So welcome.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
So Lisa has a business called Modern Miracles, and her work is based on A Course in Miracles. And when I met her 20 years ago, she was an avid student. And at the time I saw her as a teacher, she just saw herself as a student. But she has continued to deepen her devotion to A Course in Miracles, and she extends and shares and teaches about it in many different ways. So we'll dive into that. But what I want to do today is talk about the idea of living oneness and how we can integrate living oneness into our lives, like everyday moments with family, with friends, with work, with going to the grocery store. And I've talked about that in different ways and in the different gatherings, but your ability to integrate A Course in Miracles and integrate your devotional practice is inspiring for me. And I've learned a lot from you over the years, and just how listening to you parent and listening to you in your everyday interactions with life, I learned a lot from you over the years. So I just wanted to bring you here and have this conversation because I feel it's really important to be able to bridge our spiritual practice or our devotional practice, whatever that is for each individual, and bring it into everyday moments, those moments that maybe challenge us or trigger us. Or a lot of people, I feel like, separate their spiritual life with their human life, and I'm all about bridging it, and I know you are as well. So I'm excited to have you here and just dive into that conversation.
Yeah, oh my gosh, there's so much to say about it. And I love how A Course in Miracles is actually, it's a universal spirituality, although, if you get into it, it has its particular languaging and all of that, but it really is about it's a non-dualistic course. It's a non-dualistic teaching, which means that it's all about living oneness. It's all about that what is real and what is true is only love. That's what it's about. And so it's like a bridge. I guess that's a good way to say it. So that's why we're always bridging it. And one of the things that I love about the course is that it introduces us to our inner teacher. So in Sue's space, we may call it spirit. In A Course in Miracles, we may call it the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit or the spirit is like the voice that bridges us from this kind of individual existence to the truth that we are all one. And so I find it really important when we talk about oneness, because to be honest, I think for most of us, it's very, very difficult to grasp. It's so big, it's so on a level theoretical. And but as we move through our lives and we deepen in our spirituality, what we realize is that there's actually an ability to have a lived experience of this. And one of the silly, kind of simple things about it is that the quick route to connecting with that oneness is actually for us to relax. Like, if we think about the individuality and the separation, it requires us to constrict and to limit. We kind of get into our own limited, constricted, narrow-mindedness. That's kind of where we come from. So the direction, and I know this is probably what is experienced in these groups, is actually Sue takes you on a journey to surrender, right? We surrender all the limitations, we surrender all the individual thoughts, the individual goals, and we start to relax and to deepen into that sense of unity. That's what happens when we relax. We drop out a limitation and into a sense of unification. So, But what I was going to say about A Course in Miracles is I'm very practical about spirituality, and it meets us where we think we are in our individuality. That's kind of what it does. So this inner teacher, we start to have a communication with spirit, with the Holy Spirit, and we start to communicate and say, "Help me to understand what oneness, what true love, what A Course in Miracles would call God. God is perfect love. God is perfect oneness. What that is." And the request of the Spirit is that we start to invite Him into every facet of our lives. So that's when Sue's saying, let's talk about this on practicality. How do we bring this idea of oneness in connectedness into our parenting, into our friendships, our relationships, into our work? How do we do that? And I think, again, when I'm saying it's very simple when we say we need to relax, what's being called is that the reason we relax is because when we relax, what does relax mean? Well, it also means slow down for a moment and pause. But when we do that, our hearts and minds will open. And then we can start to hear the voice of oneness, the voice of love speak to us and through us. That's actually the key. Everyone can do it. There is no one that cannot connect with the voice for love within. Everyone can do it. We might not recognize that that's what's happening. And in fact, I think it's the most natural thing for us, and we most of us don't even notice. But it actually feels like the most natural thing in the world. A long time ago, the Holy Spirit would say, so much of the time you actually miss the miracle and you miss the grace because it's so actually when it happens, you'd almost not notice because it's so natural and so in the flow. It's like, oh, he's like, it's happening and you're not taking note because it is the best, the most natural. It's awesome, right? It's
It's
like,
like
oh.
breathing, right?
It's like breathing. It's
Yeah.
like breathing when we go into that connected place. Exactly. And just for an example, which I think is so cool, is like when I come on to this call with you all, what is my directive? I have to relax in order to make the connection, right? Like that's the call. It's like, will I come in and rest with you all? Will I take a deep breath? Will I let spirit and that love in so that I can feel the connectedness. And I think that that's it, is that, and I'll give you like, if we want the quick version of the grocery store, most of us in our individual mindset, in the goal we have with our shopping list, we go into the grocery store and we are in our narrow bubble. And we just go in and we get what we need, and we don't notice that our brothers and sisters are all around. And we don't notice that there's a shared connectedness that's happening. And we don't look up at the person that's checking us out, and we don't breathe and we don't relax. We almost take these portions of our lives and we disregard them. And the spirit says, will you track with me through the day? Will you stay with me so that I can light up the world with that love? And that we can start to see it everywhere. But it takes training. You know, it takes spiritual training. In A Course in Miracles, we call it mind training, to disconnect from the ego thought system of separateness and to open up to that oneness, that idea, that interconnectedness. And I have to, and I just want to say this to you, Sue, because there's nothing more exciting to me than coming into a space with others that want to talk about living oneness. Like, that's such a beautiful reflection for all of us in the mind, that we're tired of doing things on our own, of the separation. We're tired of that. It starts to not make sense. This constant like independence and individuality and always kind of striving for ourselves. It doesn't work. It doesn't work in the collective because we're actually truly one. And so we need more spaces and groups like this where we talk about it and say, how do we remember? You know, I think it's just a remembrance. And it's just a remembrance. It actually, when we remember it just feels true because it is true that we're all connected and all one. So I guess the other thing is that when we connect with spirit, the spirit is seeing from the widest expansive perspective, far beyond what we could see on our own. And like simply, it's like past, present, future, and it holds all of like the consideration for the whole and everyone within it. I mean, when we're making a decision in the world, we couldn't possibly consider all events, past, present, future, and the consideration of all when we're making a decision. So in A Course in Miracles, it says, make no decisions by yourself. Make all decisions with spirit. And what happens with that is that, and this is such an important teaching, and I know Sue talks about this, is that when we follow the guidance, when we follow the inner guidance of the spirit, we are acting upon the highest good of everyone, including ourselves. This is not a path of sacrifice. This is inclusive of ourselves. And so, what that means is that there is no more room for a win-lose situation. I mean, the whole world is set up for winning and losing. If I win, you lose, I win. I mean, it's that. But what we're talking about when we're connected with that source of love is that it's impossible for there to be a winner and a loser. It's impossible that when I am acting from that guidance on behalf of the highest good of all in my life, it means that everyone wins. It just is that it's all together or none at all. It's not one or the other, which is the dictate of the ego. So what happens is, and this is why I'm saying, I'm like, oh my gosh, we're recognizing our shared purpose here when we come together. We have a shared purpose of healing, awakening, peace, unity. That is, it's really shared amongst all of us, whether people are conscious of it or not. But when we get into that mindset and we come and answer the call of our heart to follow that voice, it's just, it literally is a gift to everyone. It's just a gift for everyone because nobody loses.
Yeah, the world is very built on the programming around fighting to be right or fighting not to be wrong or proving others wrong or competition or war, all of that dualistic programming, right? It's all about separation, one or the other, and one or the other's got to be right and one or the other's got to be wrong. So when we're operating from this place of divine alignment and recognizing our oneness, we can honor the differences, honor where one person is versus another without judging, right? So we walk through with a lens of inclusion, acceptance, love, and interconnectedness. And there's no separation, there's no division, there's no war, competition, that sort of thing.
This has been coming up a lot in my groups right now, especially with like the politics in the US going on and stuff. I mean, there's so much divisiveness and separation just playing out on the level of the world. It's easy to find. It's right there. And actually on in a for a spiritual goal, in A Course in Miracles, it says you're never going to find resolution on that level. Like if you're you, like universal agreement to an opinion. You're never going to find that. You know, it seems like the ego wants us to just stand in our space and try to convince everyone to agree with us or something like that. It's just never going to happen. And so what it is it's like, are we willing to rise above the separate ideas and the separate opinions, like Sue's saying, without judgment, and remember our shared purpose? We all want peace. We all want to be happy. And it requires though letting go of judgment, which is challenging because a lot of us stay very sturdy in our judgments and hold steady there. And it does require a really open mind to allow and honor others' opinions and others to just have to see how they want to see. And I do want to say this, okay, like a practical example of this. One of the things that I've been given in doing spiritual coaching is, for example, during the COVID, I had ha half of my clients that were very, very clearly needing and wanting to get vaccinations, and probably the other half that were completely not for that. And to me, what was happening, it was my learning to say, this has nothing to do with whether they vaccinate or don't vaccinate. This has to do with, can you rise above and tune into their particular essential part and know that their heart is there, that all they have to do is follow their heart and play their part. And it all on a level is working together for good, because that's what's happening. It's unfolding. It's all unfolding for good. It's all really, I think, happening to teach us not to judge. You know, we
Well,
all have to learn. Yeah.
even the idea that if someone makes a choice from a place of fear, they're making a choice and they're not in alignment. Can we give them permission to do that? Can we just be there with them and not judge them for that? Can we meet them with compassion and meet them in their humanness, going, okay, it's okay that you're making a choice from that space. Because a lot of times I talk about, we choose love or fear, but there's also that middle ground where sometimes we just need to make a choice that's for peace. And sometimes that choice for peace is coming from fear, and it's okay. It's up to us not to judge the other individual for their choices and not judge ourselves for our choices as well.
And it's so true. Like, that's really the voice of the spirit has come in again and again and just said, lift your judgments off others. They're doing the best they can. They might be in a place of fear, and that's just where they are at. They're often, actually, what is kind of interesting in terms of the guidance that comes around it is the spirit will say to me, they're too afraid to do anything different. Like, there's too much fear. And what you don't, it, by you judging them, you're just going to increase their fear. There's no point to that. You know, one of the things that love does is it always, or doesn't do, is it never makes us more fearful. So it's like there's allowance for us to be in a fearful mindset. Lots of us are caught in the ego. We all are at times. And we're afraid there. And so it's not to judge, it's actually to hold space and compassion. And actually, a lot of the time in A Course in Miracles, it says, can you just be a demonstration that there's another choice? You know, not even to change someone's mind, but to just be a demonstration of that love.
Yeah,
So
not
that,
even to speak that, but just a
not even to
demonstration.
speak it. That's just a demonstration. So because we're all connected, it reminds the other that they have that choice as well. And it doesn't even have to be spoken. Yeah.
Yeah, I love that. That's really powerful. And that's that being that compassionate witness, that loving presence, that compassionate presence without judgment. And the other thing that came in as you were speaking was just the idea that, from the outside looking in or looking at someone else's life, it's easy to judge because we're programmed to judge. Our natural tendency is to observe. Our programming is to judge. It's really easy for us to judge somebody's life and somebody's choices from the outside. But until you really walk a mile in their shoes or really embody all of the experiences that is informing that choice, we can't judge, we can't know, we can't understand why. And the other thing I've noticed over the years, especially with you and I, because we've been on this parallel path, teaching similar things but in different ways, but we're always paralleling and our lives are often paralleling as well. And I know that there's times where I've made choices where you're just like, okay, I don't understand, but I love you and I'm here and I'm walking beside you and whatever you need, I'm right there with you. And I felt that love and that, like, just this warm embrace of non-judgment. And it was powerful and it gave me permission to go through the experience I needed. And a lot of times those choices that we make from the place of fear are our greatest teaching moments, our greatest moments where we have those breakthroughs that really let go of that contraction or that holding at the level of the mind. So who are we to judge or even think that we know what is best for another person and their individual evolution and awakening, right? So it's really powerful.
Exactly. Yeah, that's and there are so many vacillations on the path of healing between the ego and the spirit. We all experience incredible vacillation between the two, and it's part of the learning. It's actually part of the undoing. And yeah, it's really about allowing what the Holy Spirit would often say to me is, can you trust their process? Can you just trust the process that, and if I look at my own process, I'm like, some of my greatest helpers, gifts, things were part of those forgiveness lessons that were really difficult and really dark. And I needed that to get to where I am. I needed to walk through, to make a different choice, to allow myself to be afraid until I wasn't afraid anymore, until I could choose differently. And that's kind of the gift of actually being able to do, to be in these circles and to go into deep work around these things, because we do develop, we get to hear people's stories, and we do get to develop an understanding, a compassion, one that the spirit already holds. That's the whole thing, is that that's why it's so beautiful to look to the spirit and ask for his perspective, because he already holds the wider perspective. And that's why the messages come through. Can you trust their process? Can you bless them instead of judge them? Can you trust that it's all for the highest good? And again, if we can let ourselves come out of the limitation and back into the wider perspective, it's so beautiful, because it's like, it's first of all, it's good news. I mean, A Course in Miracles says it's like, this is all healed and complete. This is all just leading to the full healing of our minds and the unification of our spirit. It's guaranteed, it says. It's guaranteed.
All paths lead there. Yeah.
They all lead there. I know. And A Course in Miracles says there's 1,000 paths to God. There's 1,000 paths to this remembrance. So we get to bless every path that comes the way too, right? It's like, we don't always, and we don't have to understand. We don't have to understand, and we can still move forward, and we can still send the blessing, and we can still have compassion. In fact, we'll never totally understand. That's the thing. Like, yeah, it has to be let go of. So this is our liberation, this willingness to take, like, to claim our path out of limitation to the expansiveness of the oneness that we are. None of us can do it on our own, because we're one. And so I think that this is the call to the collective. It's the call that we're all, it says in A Course in Miracles, all are called, few choose to listen. Well, maybe few choose to listen now, but I actually, in my lifetime, am witnessing to a whole lot more people listening, I think, than even in the past. It's like, we're listening. We're listening. And it's the same one voice, shared purpose, unified call that we're listening to. And it's calling us out of limitation, out of separation, and into the truth of who we are. And then all the theology goes, and all the different theories and all the different pathways, they all get cleared away too. We forgive it all, and we land in that experience of wholeness and joy and oneness and peace, everlasting, right? That's the lofty goal.
I want to jump into the practicality, and because we're talking in a language, and everybody on this call is like immersed in the language, and many of them are like sponges and they love it. But let's bring it into the practicality of life. So I know with your kids, they have maybe a different belief system, or they hold different beliefs. My family does too. My husband, he says he isn't spiritual, and I know he is in his own way. I can see it, but I don't use the spiritual language with him or even with my kids. I change the language and I meet them where they're at, and we have these conversations and we can interact, but we can still experience these divine unions or connections that way. Can you share maybe a little bit about, because you have four children, you're a
Yes.
mother raising four children in this
And they're
wild
getting
world.
older now. They're getting
Yeah.
older. They're like four, well, how they're 14, 16, 19, and 21 now. It's just crazy. Oh, how does that happen? And one of the kind of jokes that I would say is I have four atheists in the house. I mean, I think on some level they all have spiritual, some level of spiritual acceptance, connection that way, some more willing to admit than others in the household. But all along, the guidance around their spirituality has been, really to demonstrate. It's always been about demonstration. And there is languaging that comes in with my kids that is, it's not A Course in Miracles languaging. Oh, on some levels it is, but it's really, I think, a lot to do with our communication and the way things flow in our household. So, for example, the kids come up with so many questions all the time. Can I do this? Can I do that? Can I have this? Can I have that? All these things. And they're very, very used to me saying, let me check in about that. Now, I don't always say, let me check in, because sometimes I feel into it, right? What do? I relax. I don't constrict if I can help it, if it's not something too stressful. I don't constrict. I try to relax and I tune in. And sometimes right away, it feels like, yes, absolutely, that feels good. And other times, I have no idea. And so they're very used to really having to hold patience for clarity to come in the household. And we know this because there's a divine plan and everything's working together. So there is a lot of flow that can happen when we're willing to tune in together. So I think there's a lot of flow in my home because there's the checking in that goes on. There's yeah, like not a like one of the things, one of my daughters, if she gets really stressed out, you know, she then gets like completely impatient. Like she needs to know now, she needs to get it done, whatever it is. And yeah, there's like this conversation often that has to take place after. It's like, you know, I just tell her like, you know, I can't make decisions from that stress. Like I don't, it's not a place, of course, I don't want to make decisions from stress. That's making decisions with the ego. That's not for the collective. That's not actually for our highest good. So we talk about like making decisions from a place of peace, making decisions when we're calm and clear. And I guess the other thing is that the reflection to them of, well, I mean, I could, I don't often share too much about this, but in a way, I stopped disciplining them many years ago. And I know, like, when they were little, I was really strict. I mean, that's how I grew up with really strict parents that way. And the discipline actually, it wasn't working well. And so what came in actually was presence. So with the kids, if there was an issue, the spirit would teach me to address them in the present moment, to address whatever the issue was, and then to lift it and release it. And to not punish. And that has worked very well. My kids make fun of me to this day that they don't really get disciplined. But it's worked really, really well. And I think that for me, that was a reflection of really, really learning to love, like really learning to love unconditionally, really learning to forgive and let go. And also looking straight at things and addressing them. It's not about denial or anything like that, but it was like there's another way to address these things. There's another way. And so there's my kids tell me most things. There's huge amounts of open communication because they don't get in trouble. They don't really get in trouble. Yes, I can get frustrated in the moment, but only to just release it and to let it go. So I think that's been really, really powerful.
I know
There's
from what you're saying is just to interject for a minute, when you say there's no discipline in the house, there's no discipline, but there are healthy boundaries. And like I feel like there's okay, these things are acceptable and these things are not. So I feel like there's no sense of discipline in the way of like that you're wrong, you did something wrong, therefore there's a punishment. I definitely feel for me as well that kind of fell away over the years. And the practice of non-interference came in for me as well, but there was still certain things that were put in place. They were guided, it was aligned, and it felt purposeful and clear that were communicated in a certain way, which feels more like, okay, these are the boundaries, these are the things that we all agree to, or that if these things are not adhered to, then there's not necessarily consequences, but there's accountability or taking responsibility or ownership for those choices. So I love what you're saying, and I feel like it's really important for a lot of people to recognize that there is such a different way to approach life, especially parenting. It's one of the most challenging jobs in the world as far as I'm concerned. But it this can all then be translated into all relationships. So even a relationship where someone you have a disagreement with somebody or they do something that triggers you or upsets you, it's like, okay, do you on some level, the ego loves to discipline, the ego loves to judge, make them wrong, and then make them pay for it somehow, or make them punish them somehow, or punish ourselves somehow. So we even even just looking at the relationship with discipline with self would be a powerful
Yes.
exercise as well.
Yeah. Really, really powerful. And yeah, you're right. Like boundaries come in to a degree, but they're flexible. I think that that has been, and it's very humbling at times because, of course, the ego wants us to control. And the Holy Spirit, it is very, very flexible and willing to move with what's kind of present. You know, it doesn't have an issue with changing and shifting, with whatever's truly helpful. And I'll give you one example that's kind of an extreme example, but it was what it was in terms of what ha had to happen. And so with my oldest daughter, she has been a very, very wild, difficult teenager. And when she was about, I want to say 15, I'm not sure if that's accurate, it might have been a little bit younger, she just told me, "You can't control me. I'm going to do what I want to do." And basically, that was the end of it. She's like, "You can't tell me what to do. I'm going to do whatever I want to do. You can't control me." And I actually believed her from what she had been doing and what she had been sort of like her behavior and things like that. I'm like, yeah, she's not going to listen to me. She's not going to listen to me. She's not going to, if I put up hard boundaries here, she's not going to listen to me. So I told her that, and this was the guidance that came through, surprisingly. I just said to her, "I'm still going to say what I'm going to say to her." That's what I said. "I'm still going to communicate to you how I feel about things. And you're going to listen to me or you're not going to listen to me. You'll decide. But at the end of the day, your safety is most important. So that means that you can still always call me. I always want to know where you are, even if I don't want you to be there." And that became our new agreement. That just became our new agreement for the next couple of years. And it was hard when she was going against what I was asking, but the fact that I still knew where she was and that she could call me if she needed me was enough for us to navigate those years and those times, and for her to not feel like I was, that I wasn't there, right? Because I think the tendency in those situations is for me to separate off from her, to pull back way away from her, because it's so difficult and painful to not be respected and listened to. But with the Spirit guiding these relationships, he teaches us there's another way. And yeah, so there's so many instances where I look to that higher perspective for help because I have no idea. I have no idea what is truly helpful. And I've trusted it along the way. I think that's one of the things with both me and Sue is like, it's not just about listening to guidance. It is about following the guidance. It is about having the courage to hear it and to follow it through, because that is when we experience the unity, that connection, the miracles. That's where the miracle is in the follow through. And so, yeah, it's a wild ride. It's a wild place to go, right? Letting go of our limitations, letting go of our judgments, letting go of all these things, and coming into true and right relationship with spirit. It's fun.
Yeah.
It's wild.
The question that's coming in for me right now is just the idea of how do we meet others, meet our kids, meet our other people, relationships, even just strangers. How do we meet others and not withdraw the love? So it's a tendency in the world is like, oh, withdraw your love, it's not safe, or withdraw your love, you don't agree with them. Oh, I don't believe that, therefore, and we pull back, right? We contract and pull back. And that's creating that separation and bridging and creating more of that gap between our hearts, right? So again, it's like, how do I hold space for this individual to have their belief? And even if that belief appears or feels different than my own, without withdrawing my love, how do I stay in the space of connectedness? It doesn't mean I invite everybody into my home. That's different. We're all connected, yes, but do I invite everybody in my home? No. Do I connect with everybody in the way of like have conversations? No. But I don't need to judge people and withdraw and pull back my love. And that was a big lesson for me I love that in my parenting, learning how to do that with my kids, and they do something wrong in my eyes when they were younger. I would be like, okay, how do I hold, like, because I could feel my love pull back because the anger would come in or something, and my love would just go whoop and pull back. And I'm like, no, hold the love around them, and speak what needs to be spoken in that moment, whether that's a raised voice or whether that's the appearance of some form of discipline or boundary. But I always set an intention to hold that space of love for them and not withdraw it. It was a really intense practice for me over the years, but a really transformative practice at the same time.
Yeah, just the awareness that we pull back the love is very, very powerful to note. Like just to note that in our relationships, when someone upsets us, when our kids upset us, when something goes not the way we want it to go, that we pull back and we usually in a protective stance. I think one of the most powerful lessons in A Course in Miracles states, in my defenselessness, my safety lies. In my
One of my favorites.
defenselessness. Yeah, it's like one of my favorites, right? And it's an activating lesson, because try it. It says, so if we say the opposite, in my defensiveness, I am in danger. Why? Because I'm separated off from my source, and I'm back, I'm caught in fear, I'm caught in the ego. But in my defenselessness, I'm safe because I have that access to that love. Well, defenselessness is a very good example of what it is to relax, what it is to let go and surrender. So
The words I often use with that lesson, I've changed it over the years to, in my defenselessness, I am free. Because that's
beautiful.
where I
Yes.
really feel the freedom in my heart. I feel the freedom in my heart. And when we're talking about the whole withdrawing of love, when you were saying that too, I'm like, oh yeah, and we withdraw that love from ourself too. We do that internally as well. And our biggest wound of separation is our disconnect from our true essence, our source. And that's the biggest heartbreak that we have. That's the biggest wound that we have. So to be able to recognize that we can drop our defenses in our heart, we can still have those boundaries in place, but be defenseless, meaning we're not afraid of love. We are embodying love. We are owning the essence of who we are, which is love. And we are seeing that essence in everyone, even if their actions are coming from fear, even if their actions are coming from a place of separation, we can still see that love in all that are everyone around us.
Yeah, that's the development of our spiritual vision. So when we are connected with spirit, he helps us look beyond all the differences, all the things that separate, all the form. He lo helps us look beyond it to the light of understanding, to the light of truth, to the radiant light, to our freedom. I mean, that's where we're free. And so what we're doing is, systematically forgiving all of the obstacles to that sight, to that ability to see the oneness, to see the radiant light with that exists beyond all things. And yeah, it requires a lot of characteristics that we're developing on the spiritual journey, including a lot of trust and faithfulness and gentleness. So again, gentleness goes really nicely with defenselessness and patience,
And
right? It works,
softness.
yeah, and softness and non-judgment, right? It requires that. And you're right. I mean, there's no way that we can't heal our relationship with ourselves. It actually is paramount to the journey. We can't make our spiritual path about everyone else. We are all one, and we've been assigned this one to deal with. It's like the Holy Spirit would say to me, listen, you wake up with yourself, you have to spend all day in that mind and in that experience, and then you go to sleep with yourself. You need to have a love. Love needs to be present. You like it, it and it's your inheritance. Everyone deserves to have an internal loving experience within themselves. So it gets healed along the way, that relationship with self, that it gets healed, and we become, I don't know if you feel this, but I really feel like this. Like the amount of patience, compassion, kindness I have towards myself today is, it's amazing. I like, it's one of my favorite things to care about being kind to myself. Like I'll ask myself, is it kind? Sometimes that's just the question, is it kind? Because remember what I was saying before is that for oneness for us to experience oneness, we can't exclude ourselves. And the ego is so sneaky. It wants it to make about being loving to everyone else and exclude us. It wants us to make about give to everyone else and feel lack within ourselves. It's so sneaky. So it does matter. It's like, do I feel the abundance of the love? Do I feel, is it kind? That's why I love the path, because honestly, it's a very loving, joyful path because we receive all the gifts. And then we share them all. That's how it works.
So can we bring everybody through a little a journey or experience of that? Oneness with self, or oneness, like have love towards self and love within. I feel like that's a nice place to kind of, and then even just the whole idea of not withdrawing our love, how just a felt experience of whatever comes through. And maybe you can share a little bit, and then I'll kind of piggyback on yours and we'll kind of create our
Sure, I'll
experience.
pass it along. This is I do shared prayers in my space. I'll be like, I'm passing it on to you, Sue.
Okay.
We'll see where we go.
Sounds good.
Sounds good. Okay, yes. So I am inviting you to shift your focus inward. Just close your eyes if possible. And let's take a deep cleansing breath. Really giving ourselves permission to relax. Breathe and receive all the gifts and blessings of this time together. We are learning that pausing for peace, relaxing, settling inward is such a beautiful gift to ourselves. As we relax, just feeling our hearts open and that love streaming in, filling us up, expanding far beyond the limitations of the body. Love just cannot be contained. It's so expansive and limitless. Just seeing our minds opening, love streaming in, just filling us, feeling the freedom, resting in that love together. All of us are here, letting go of the limitations of our separate self-concept. Just allowing love to be fully present. That love is radiant light. It is freedom. It is joy. It is peace. Just breathing in the gifts of our oneness, the gifts of our source. And recognizing it's so sweet, like a sweet acknowledgement for showing up in this space today, for coming to this shared calling, answering the call. Can we shower ourselves with appreciation and gratitude? It's a beautiful reflection of where we are on our spiritual path to be showing up and caring deeply about our unity. This is a path that is opening moment by moment, a portal of kindness, of compassion, inviting gentleness and divine patience, knowing that everything is unfolding in perfect time, and it's unfolding for our awakening, for our awakening to that oneness, to that truth. dancing, basking in the love, and all the beautiful attributes of that love. They are spirit's gifts to us. They are all of our inheritance, and we are simply remembering. And this is how we choose to walk on our path today, full of kindness to ourselves and others, full of the light of non-judgment and understanding, that we may really hear our brothers and sisters, hold space for them, allow them to be wherever they are, knowing that they are perfectly located in their process, and extending that same patience and compassion to ourselves. Whatever shows up today, we accept with kindness and care, knowing that this is exactly what we need for our next steps. We walk with kindness and grace and peace. Now I am going to pass this beautiful prayer on to Sue.
Hearing the word devotion and reverence. Just inviting that beautiful energy of devotion, devotion to love, devotion to that unity and connectedness within us and our source. And then also that devotion of interconnectedness and unity with all of creation. And we may begin with those places where it feels easy, those individuals where it feels easy, nature, animals, those individuals that we feel that connection with, that we feel that resonance with. As we sink into our devotion to love within and around us, we then can invite the experience and the energy of reverence. Divine reverence, a deep bow, a deep love for all, a reverence for our human self, our human life classroom, a reverence for our divinity, and recognizing that there's a way to bridge our humanness and our divinity so that we feel that divine union within us. There's a way to have reverence for the heart and the mind so that we have a divine union between our heart and mind, so that our mind is not in opposition or competition for the heart. Our mind is in union and working on behalf of love, on behalf of our essence. We have deep reverence for the body, for the cells, and for the microbiome within and around us. The energy within and around us, our unique individuation of pure source, animating us within our human classroom, within our human body, within our human experience. A devotion to love, a deep reverence for all of creation within and around us. And a divine union. Even when there appears to be separation, be willing to feel the connection. And we can connect with someone who's choosing fear because we've chosen fear. We know that feeling. We know how hard that choice is sometimes to shift out of fear and back to love. But even in the choice for fear, there can be love. There can be love within and around us. There can be love for self and for others, devotion to love, reverence for every moment, every experience, no matter what it looks like. And compassion and kindness for all of creation. That deep reverence for all of creation. It goes beyond a level of respect. It's a deep honoring. This beautiful painting, all these individual canvases and expressions of divine source energy expressing themselves all around us through a blade of grass, a tree, a flower, an animal, an individual, our own bodies, our own experiences. They're all a one big, beautiful canvas of creation, full of color, full of love, all imbued with the essence of unity, of oneness. May we all remember the truth of who we are. May we all hold steady and hold the light within and around us, hold the love within and around us. May we recognize when we're withdrawing it from the world, from others, from ourselves. And may we remember to soften. To lean into it, to allow, to embody, to be love in action, to be love in stillness, to be love in silence, to be love in words, to just be love fully, wholly, and as completely as possible in each and every moment. And so it is. And to your sternum, if you like. Yes, thank you. I miss thump. Yes, thank you. Yes, thank you. As you take a deep breath in and let the breath fall out, you may be guided to stay in that space with your eyes closed. And part of the practice may be to open your eyes and hold steady in that energy, hold steady in that embodiment, to hold steady in that love, that devotion, that reverence. For those of you feeling like you're to come back and open your eyes, just feel into your experience. And you may find some words you feel inspired to share. You can share in the chat how you're feeling, maybe one word or two words even to capture the essence of what you feel now. You may even feel to share what stood out for you in our conversation, our divine conversation. So, Lisa, just to kind of wrap things up, I want to just take a moment to thank you and honor you and express my gratitude for you, for what you do in the world, for who you are, the presence that you are. Even if we don't talk to each other for a couple of weeks, I always feel your presence. I always know you're right there walking beside me. We're always walking heart and heart, hand in hand, even if we're not together at the time. So I just want to thank you all. Thank you so much for everything you do in everyone's life.
Thank you, Sue. You know, I feel the same about you. I feel the same about the work you're doing and our relationship and the blessing that it's been. And yeah, it's so fun to get together and to come share together. Thank you so much for having me here. You know, it's just been beautiful. Thank you to everyone on the call. It's just a beautiful
Yes.
community.
Yes, thank you everyone for showing up and for being here. Because again, your presence, even if you're not live on the gathering when we record for the podcast, your presence has an impact and it's felt and it's appreciated, and we honor each one of you for showing up here with us and for participating in this Living Oneness gathering. Because it's a movement. It's not just a gathering. It's not just like, hey, come and show up. There's momentum we're building in this beautiful movement. So thank you all. I want to just share some of the comments coming in. Wow, thank you both. I needed to hear that. I can now watch when I try to pull back my love. That was Andrea earlier. Linda, very powerful. Philip shared feeling expanded and blessed. Thank you. Ina, I appreciate this blessed experience. Andrea kept feeling embodied awakening. Beautiful. Much appreciation for this opportunity. Thank you for being here. Much gratitude, hearts and love. And Carolyn, thank you for the nudge back to A Course in Miracles and to experience back to my. That's beautiful. I love that. So if people are feeling inspired to reach out to you, find out more about what you do, and connect with you, where can they find you?
Well, probably the easiest way is to just come to my website. So it's www.modernmiracles.com. And I always offer free discovery sessions if people want to come and just connect about where they are on their path. And yeah, we have, you know, it's very, I always say it's just like everyone answering the calling. And if you feel called to come and connect and explore, I'm just so happy to receive you. And yeah, these communities they're flourishing. Actually, it's just so beautiful what's happening, right? People, like I said in A Course in Miracles, it says few choose to answer, but I'm saying actually lots of us are starting to answer,
Answering.
and yeah, it's beautiful, like more and more are starting to answer. So, yeah.
The one thing I'll share too with Lisa is she is an ordained minister. I am as well. I actually took my training under Pathways of Light, but I had Lisa as my facilitator. So when you do the ministry training, you have a facilitator or a support along the way. So it's a 1-year program I took. And Lisa was my facilitator, and it was powerful. It was intense. It was challenging, but it was all worth it. And we really got in and underneath my spiritual ego that year, so which was great. And I really needed that. So Lisa had the courage to call me out on my stuff, even though there was times where I wanted to hit her because I could feel this like, no, I could feel this resistance in me. But I knew she was hitting exactly where we needed to hit. So she was very courageous and brave for walking me through that. So thank you for that. If anybody's interested, Lisa has been running her own ministry training. It's a 1-year devotion, all under the umbrella and using the course, A Course in Miracles, to actually be some of the have some of the structure and the flexibility of the program. So that I'm assuming you're going to start another one again in January.
Yep, enrollment is open for January, and it's a year of devotion to the teachings of the course and a training for miracle workers, ministers, anyone that feels like a really deep call to go deep for the year and be in a really supported container. It's a beautiful program. Yeah, I love it. We're just moving through right now. Gosh, I can't believe it's almost the end of the year. Another year going by with it. It's amazing. But yeah, that usually is a deep calling for the minister training. Just like you got it before I even had a minister training program, but I was able to facilitate yours. And now, yeah, it's been such a blessing to offer that program. Yeah.
Yeah, wonderful. Well, again, if you're feeling drawn to connect with Lisa, it's modernmiracles.com. You can find her and all her beautiful heart-inspired and heart-centered offerings in the world. And I thank you all for being here. I appreciate you. I honor you. I see you. I'm so grateful for this community and for everyone who shows up and continue to be the beacons of love and the beacons of light that you are in this world. We need more of you, and I'm so grateful that you're all feeling the call and answering the call at this time. So thank you all. Until next time, love and blessings.
Blessings.